Now, as part of our message, the message title which we are going to be preaching on this morning is The Stronghold of Fear. Now, we as believers all have to confront the problem of fear. But there comes a time in which fear can have a stranglehold upon the life of a believer. And we find ourselves failing to walk in the victory that is ours. I look upon our nation, and I see our nation in the grips of fear. Fear of what has happened September the 11th, and in previous occasions of terrorism. And then I see fear on the part of the American population upon what might happen. We hear conflicting reports. We hear potential reports of attempted terrorisms and individuals in various places in our nation that have been caught red-handed in potentially a very disastrous situation. We hear of isolated events and begin to wonder whether they are part of the fabric of a plan which is to terrorize America. But the reason why I've chosen to preach on the stronghold of fear, first and foremost, in our series on strongholds that believers can find themselves gripped by, is that I see where, even among God's people, as I visit and talk with Christians, I see an apprehension that is robbing many Christians of their joy, robbing Christians of their victory, robbing Christians of their worshipful meditation upon the truths of God's Word. And I see that Satan is getting the upper hand on the part of many professing Christians because of the fears that we see developing. How many of you are acquainted with the 4F military status? Can anybody tell me what the phrase 4F means? Jim, what is... Someone says, I wasn't able to go into the ministry. They labeled me 4F. What's that? Okay. Brother Jim has posited to us that the 4F is a classification where an individual, for emotional or physical reasons, may be deemed unfit for military service. It is a classification. Let me suggest to you that the devil has his 4F plan to disqualify you from a successful military venture involving spiritual warfare against the devil. And I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. You see, one of the devil's plans is by the installation of fear in our hearts by recent events, worrying about the unknown, as we read in our passage of Matthew chapter 6. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we are commanded, folks, in the Scriptures to only fear the Lord. I'm going to say that again. We are commanded in Scripture to only fear the Lord. And if the devil can get us on multiple fronts to begin fearing about our health, fearing about our economic status, fearing about employment, fearing about our economy, fearing about our government, our future, our children, our welfare of loved ones, the devil will so distract us that we will be 4F when it comes to fulfilling God's qualifications for spiritual warfare. Now, I want us to take a look at three scriptures that give us the primacy of fearing only the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, we're living in a world today that is caught up in the pursuit of knowledge, and yet we can be ever learning and never able to come to the true source of knowledge, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools, they despise wisdom and instruction, and indeed, fools will turn from the Lord. Now notice Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 reads, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." Do you realize that if you have your mind fixed on a holy reverence and a respect towards the Lord, and you have Him as the focal point, as the one that you want to please, as the one that you want to know, as the one that you want to serve, and you lay aside all of these other fears that will bring dissonance, and realize that He's sovereign, He's in charge of your life, He's the one that's controlling world's events and circumstances, the Word of God says, you'll actually lengthen your life, and not only will you have a longer life through freedom of the worries and fears that so characterize the world, but you'll have a prolongation of days in your life. You know, the Lord talks about the fowl of the air in Matthew chapter 6. You know, I've never seen a sparrow chewing on Pepcid AD or Pepto-Bismol. Never seen a bird with ulcers. You know, the Word of God said, "Behold the fowl of the air." Take a look at Proverbs 14, verse 26. The Word of God says, oh, let's claim it, folks, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And His children shall have a place of refuge. One of the things that I've noticed as a pastor is that I've detected a rising, even in a spirit of apprehension, among little children, perhaps even those in your own home. You know, some of those things that we're seeing in public media can be very unsettling to a child and his sense of security and his sense of well-being and his wondering about what's going to happen. But when we bring our children to the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, the Word of God says here in verse 26, His children shall have a place of refuge. Now, Satan's plan, we're going to get into the fourfold. There's going to be Satan's 4F plan. And there are 4 F's that we're going to be looking at that we want you to jot down. And you keep these in mind, because this is what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to immobilize you. He wants to get you when you're on the sidelines and you're not involved in the spiritual warfare because you've been disqualified and Satan's put a big 4F sign on you. You can't serve the Lord. And oh, how we need to be careful. Satan's plan is to cause us to be distracted by fear. And by the way, look at old Bin Laden. What is he trying to do to America? He wants to take away the peace and the confidence of our nation. He wants us to be gripped by fear, so we're afraid to go out of our doors. He wants us to be gripped by fear so that you can't visit your uncle in Seattle, Washington. He wants you to be gripped by fear so that all around you're immobilized and frozen. He wants to bring down the United States and her allies using the tool of fear and intimidation. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let him do that to me. You know why? God's in charge of my life, and this man's going to go anywhere God sends him, and I'm not afraid. Bin Laden can't take my life prematurely. The duration of my life, the extent of my ministry is right in the hands of a sovereign God. Now, those people in the World Trade Center, my heart goes out to them and their family members. But you know what? That was their appointed time. And by the way, we all need to be ready for our appointed time. And it's an issue of what have you done with Jesus, and do you know Christ as your personal Savior? I'm sure that many, many people, of those better than 5,000 people that got ushered into eternity, many of them knew Christ as personal Savior. But I'm also not so naive as to realize that there were over 60 countries represented within the World Trade Center. And all of them may not have been, and likely were not, born-again Christians who were ready for eternity. What a challenge for missions. We can't afford to be labeled 4F in the work of the Lord. The first F that Satan wants us to become involved in is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Shall we turn back to the passage of Scripture that we had read for our responsive reading? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The first F is fear. The first F is fear. What I call fear of the future. Fear of the future. The devil wants you to be so worried. Notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Now the word take no thought literally means don't be anxious. It's the Greek word marimna. The word marimna means to be divided or pulled apart in different directions. You see, that's what fear does. Fear causes you to be distracted. It's like dissonance on a radio where you can't hear the station clear. You know, one of my pet peeves is when I'm going through the city of Orlando and I may be listening to some good Christian programming, and then you go driving down the East-West Expressway right smack in the center of Orlando, and then you hear the boom, 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 you know? And all of that dissonance. Why? You know, that's what the devil tries to do to our lives, to create distraction so that we don't hear the still small voice of the Lord. Oh, I know of Christians that are blinded to the Lord by the fear of the enemy. Don't allow yourself to fall into Ben Laden's hands, but most of all, don't allow yourself to fall into the hands of the greatest of all thieves, the devil himself. Notice, the Word of God says, don't take thought. Don't be concerned. Don't be full of care for your life. Now notice, what shall we eat? What tense is that, shall? Future tense. You know, the Lord says, get out of the future tense. You folks are so concerned about the future that you're allowing it to immobilize yourself. Now the Word of God says, in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In verse 34, he says, take no thought for the morrow, for the future, for tomorrow, for morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, that's today, is the evil thereof. There's enough to give to the Lord today. Let's serve the Lord today. Oh, how important a challenge is for us in those areas. Now, for those of you that are perhaps battling this area of fear of the future, I want to take some scriptures to give you encouragement to help you in this first of satanic attacks that we're looking at. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 15. John 15 and verse 15. The Word of God in this great abiding chapter, he says this, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. Why does he call us friends in John 15, 15? He says, for all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know why I don't fear the future? Because God has revealed to me everything that I need to know about the future right in here in this book. And you know, if we will give ourselves attention to studying this book, but you know, Satan wants to keep you out of this book. You know, someone once said, this book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. Satan wants to keep us out of this book, and maybe in CNN News or Good News and what magazine are we talking about? USA Today or whatever Daily News or CNN or whatever news network you listen to, ABC, NBC, maybe the Orlando Sentinel mullet wrapper, whatever you listen to read. He wants to have you in there, and you're not going to find your peace there. You study the Word of God, and oh, how we need to do that. Now, let me give you another scripture to overcome Satan's first attack in the 4F plan. That's fear. Look at Isaiah 57 and verse 15. I hope that you're able to look these scriptures up quickly. If you can't, just jot it down. But notice Isaiah 57:15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I like that scripture. He inhabits eternity. I don't have to worry about the fear of the future because my Lord is already there in the future. Our Lord actually transcends time. He stands outside of time. Time is one of his creations. And he has given me, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose, and he inhabits eternity. My Lord has been there before. Picture a little child who is uncertain about how to get around in a dark room, but his father is holding his arm, and he's able to lead him through the darkness. Why? Because the father has already been there. He's acquainted with the layout, and he is able to lead and direct that child. Don't fear the future. Our Lord is the high and lofty one. Don't fear the future. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. We're going to show you the second F in Satan's 4F plan to get you disqualified in the service of the Lord. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 19. 1 John 3, verse 19. The second word is not only fear now, number two, fuel. F-U-E-L. Satan wants to fuel a defiled conscience. You know, one of the reasons why Christians fear the future and one of the reasons why Christians worry is because they have a defiled conscience. There are areas in their lives, listen now, that have not been properly dealt with and put under the blood. And therefore, when anything bad happens, deep down in our hearts, we think, oh, the Lord is dealing with me. The Lord is punishing me. The Lord is chastening me. It's because we have perhaps areas of our lives that have not been properly confessed and placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil, listen, capitalizes on guilt. He wants to keep you in that guilty status, and he wants to fuel it. And he wants to create such a guilt where your heart condemns you, but you do nothing to deal with it and find forgiveness of sin. You know, one of the greatest messages that I have for you today, whether you're a regular attender or a visitor, is this. The Lord wants you to leave these doors totally free and cleansed from the guilt and the penalty of sin. The Lord does not want you to walk out of here with a load of guilt and punishment and all types of feeling an unworthiness. Notice it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, if there are some areas in your life that are not right with the Lord tells you, come and confess them to me. You come and I'll separate. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Oh, what a beautiful promise that the Lord gives us in Psalm 103 when it comes to the matter of forgiveness of sin. And I want you to look this up, and I want you to underline it. Put an asterisk beside it in your Bible. But the devil doesn't like this scripture. But notice what the Word of God says in verse 12 of Psalm 103. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You don't have to be walking around carrying that guilt of sin. Now, I know about the east and the west because I travel the East-West Expressway an awful lot. And I know about the east and the west. And I know that, boy, I'll tell you what, they're separated by a great distance. You agree with that, Gary? And yet, praise the Lord, we can have... Gary travels even further than I do. He goes further west, young man. He travels further. And we know about the distance. And yet God, He forgives us. And Satan wants to fuel a defiled conscience. And I think of the words in 1 Timothy 1:19 that says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Put away those sins and confess them. 1 John 1:9, as we participate in the Lord's table tonight, the Scriptures say that we ought to deal with sin in our lives that destroys the fellowship that we have between us and the Lord. Deal with unconfessed sin. Confess it to the Lord. Claim His power and His victory, His forgiveness of sins. Don't allow the devil to fuel guilt in your life. He has fear and he has fuel to attempt to get you on the sidelines. Now, number three, forgetting. Forgetting. And here's what I'm referring to. As a Christian, he wants you to forget God's past deliverance in your life. If the devil can get you so concerned about a trial that you have, and you forget to look back at how God has worked in your life in the past, he wants to get you to forget. You know, one of the problems in education in our country today is that we teach history very poorly. We do not teach his story as history. And we have forgotten from whence we came. We have forgotten the principles that have made our nation great. And that's why these punks like Bin Laden can come in and try to destroy the very... What? Because, you see, we've drifted off and we're starting now to embrace the false doctrines of the other nations that we once sought to evangelize. Oh, we have a tendency to forget, don't we? I want to take you to some past narratives of the Word of God where the children of Israel forgot the victories of the Lord. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14, turn there. Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 14, just dealing with a couple of verses. Exodus 14, verse 10. You remember the children of Israel are heading out of Egypt. God has worked mightily with all of the plagues that he sent upon Pharaoh and the enemies of the Lord in Egypt. So what happens? They're now getting ready to cross the Red Sea. And it says here in Exodus 14 and verse 10, here comes Pharaoh. He pursues after them. The children of Israel, Exodus 14, 10, lift up their eyes. They see the Egyptians marching after them, and they're sore afraid. The children of Israel cry out unto the Lord. And they said to Moses,
because there were no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And you know what? They forgot. They forgot the hand of the Lord. And you know, the devil wants you to be in fear where we forget God's hand of deliverance. You know, our nation, the United States of America, needs to look back at the victories that God has given us. And we need to claim those, even in the midst of this present that we find ourselves in. But the children of Israel forgot God's hand of blessing. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 6 in the New Testament. A new corresponding narrative of the children of Israel forgetting. And that third F of Satan's 4F military status. He wants to cause you to forget the blessings of the Lord in the past. And I'll tell you what, whenever I'm down and out, we're looking at Mark 6:45. Whenever I'm down and out, I always think in the past to God's hand of provision and how He has worked. Look at Mark 6:45. I'm going to read this passage very quickly. Straightway, He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. Was it God's plan for them to be in the ship? You bet it was. He constrained them. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. Was He in the ship? No. Was He aware where they were? Yes. Was He unconcerned about them? Uh-uh. What was He praying about? I believe that He was praying for His disciples. What a beautiful picture, by the way, about to describe in illustration the heavenly ministry of intercession that Jesus has while we're in this ship of life. We're in the ship of life now. Our Lord is in heaven making intercession for us. He's apart from us, as it were, and yet He's with us. And it goes on to describe here in verse 47, when even was come, the ship is in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land, and He saw them. Does the Lord see you in your fear? Yes, He does. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He comes unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them, if He had depended on their response. Notice, it says in verse 49, when they saw Him walking upon the sea, did they recognize Him? No, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. You know, we as believers, oftentimes our response to trials and testings is to have the same theology as the world has. Spirits, all types of apparitions, and we begin worrying about things that non-believers are worrying about. And we forget that we have a Heavenly Father who's praying for us, who is coming towards us to meet us in our point of need. The devil, though, wants us to forget. And notice how the forgetting was manifested. They didn't recognize Him in the midst of the trial. When you forget, you're not going to recognize your Lord either. You're just going to see Pharaoh coming after you, and you're going to be worried about it. They thought it was a spirit, and they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them. Get into the Word of God. Let Him speak to you. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, when you're listening to the still small voice of the Lord as revealed in the Word of God, you're not going to forget. You're going to remember. But the devil doesn't want you to communicate with the Lord. And notice, He went up unto them into the ship. The wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now get this in verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You see, they forgot previous blessings of the Lord meeting their needs. And verse 52 here tells us exactly one of the reasons why the Lord permitted this trial in their life. Because they had forgotten, and He needed to reveal Himself as the provider again. the third F. So you have fear. Oh, he loves, the old devil loves to use that. He loves to fuel guilt into thinking that there's no forgiveness available. Oh, he loves guilty Christians to fail to come to commit their sins unto the Lord. And then forgetting God's past hand of delivery. Now, then I want you to look with me the final F. Focus. Focus. The devil wants you to have the wrong focus. He wants you to focus on problems and not the Lord. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen, and his mother was making supper. And she asked him, "Johnny, will you go into the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup?" Well, this pantry was almost like a room. Did any of you ever have a big pantry when you were growing up? I grew up in Long Island, in an old duck farm country up there. We had a big walk-in pantry. It was the size of some of my bedrooms right now. You know, a big pantry with walls. And we'd just sit there sometimes and just close the door and eat white bread, my brothers and I. I know that sounds dumb. I tell you, we'd terrorize. My mother would say, "Where'd that loaf of bread go?" Well, we'd hide away, close the door in the pantry, and we'd get the Wonder Bread. Now, we used to have Wonder Bread. Do they still have Wonder Bread today? We used to think that if I stuffed myself with Wonder Bread, I'd be the fastest runner in my block. Now, you can see what that did to me, you see. But that was my idea. So we'd stuff ourselves with Wonder Bread, and then we'd go outside, my brothers and I, and we'd challenge everybody we could find to a foot race. And the bad part was when we lost. We just said, "I've got to eat more bread," you know. But little Johnny was asked by his mommy, "You go and get a can of tomato soup." Little Johnny was a little bit concerned. And she said, "Johnny, go in there." Well, Johnny didn't want to go in. Why? It was dark in there. "It's okay, Johnny. Go over there. Jesus is with you." So Johnny hesitantly walks to the door of that cupboard, slowly opens it, peeks inside, and it was so dark and scary. He started to leave when an idea came into him. He opened the door a little more and said, "Jesus, if you're in there, will you get me a can of tomatoes?" You know, the focus. We need to have the right focus. The spies that were sent to spy out Canaan, where did they put their focus, folks? On the Lord or on the giants? Wrong focus. Solomon was charged to build the temple, and I want to close by taking you to this scripture. Look at 1 Chronicles. When Solomon was charged by his father to build on and go on and build the temple, 1 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 20 of 1 Chronicles 28. Solomon says to his son, "Solomon, be strong." 1 Chronicles 28:20. "Be strong." These are the words of a dying father to his son. He realizes that it's not his place to build that temple, but his son is going to do it. "Be strong and of good courage." And do it! Be strong, of good courage, and do it. You know what I say to our nation? Be strong and of good courage, and do it. I say it to you. Be strong and of good courage. Get involved in that spiritual warfare. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You know, God's word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. But where do you stand with reference to Satan's 4F plan?
to get you off course. Two explorers were out on a jungle safari, and suddenly a ferocious giant jumped in front of them. The first explorer whispered, "Keep calm. Remember what we read in that book on wild animals. If you stand perfectly still and look at that lion in the eye, he'll turn and run." His companion said, "Sure. I've read that book. You've read that book. But has the lion read that book?" You know something? The lion, the old devil, he's read the book. He knows his time is short. We can have victory. We need not fear. And I want the Lord's table to have a special, special meaning to us. In addition to looking back to the cross work of Christ and what he has done for us, I want us to claim today as God's children, I will not be caught up in the fear of the world. Children, don't let yourself get caught up in the fear of the world. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, let it be an expression not only of our realization of what he has accomplished for us, but may we also be caught up in the fact that God is sovereign and he is our Lord and we are citizens of his kingdom and we want to glorify him by whatever means, by life or by death, to serve the Lord, because we're invincible until he calls us home to be with him. And may our strength pass on to our children, and may our strength be seen by others that do not know Christ as Savior, and may they truly see there is a Christian who has the peace of God in the midst of the storm. Yes, the storm is there, but Jesus is with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your ministry in our hearts and lives. And while Satan has his master 4F plan to put us on the sidelines, Lord, I thank you that greater is the one that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can come before your presence. And, Lord, we can experience that freedom from the fuel of guilt that Satan always seeks to throw gas on. And that we can have forgiveness and peace. We can focus on what the Lord seeks to do in our lives. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm wondering how many here would say, "Pastor John, there's some fears in my life. And folks, I may not have even dealt with those fears, but you're giving them to the Lord Jesus Christ today. And you want to say, remember me in prayer, because there's some areas in my life that I'm handing over to the Lord now for him to deal with. Let me see your hand. There's some areas of fear in my life. The uncertainty of the future, some concerns. First, I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray that you're seeking to walk obediently. If there's some areas of known sin, confess them. Claim his forgiveness. Turn from them by his power. Commit yourself to follow Jesus. Believers, pray for your nation. Pray that our nation, collectively and individually, will turn to the wonderful Savior, that his power might shelter us from the adversary, that there might be victory. And above all, as we prepare for the table of the Lord, won't you thank the Lord for his forgiveness, and that we can remember him in all that he has done for us, and we can be prepared for his soon coming. Father, bless us now as we prepare for the elements of the Lord's table. May we truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, in so doing, may we cast down those advances of principalities and powers that would seek to disqualify us in the warfare for our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.